You are first. Nick interned with us here at the church for over the last year, and he is on his way to a ministry position at Jonestown Bible Church starting next week, right?
Next week.
And so this is the first time I ever baptized a pastor.
I think the position's youth intern.
Okay.
It's not pastor yet.
Okay. You give your testimony, Pastor.
Yeah. All right, so usually when you give a testimony, you start with what your life was like before Christ, but considering I was saved at 4, I don't really have a very good recollection of what my life was like before I got saved. You'd have to ask my parents. What I know is from home videos that I've seen way, way back. So at 4, in Awana, in this very church, I got saved, and the basis for it was really simple. Hell is bad, heaven is good. I don't want to go to hell. I'm scared of hell. Let's go to heaven. How do we do this? We place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. All right, done. And it acted mostly as fire insurance. It was a get-out-of-hell free card. And as such, growing up, I was the good kid. I was a good kid who went to church, who had all the answers, and I thought that was good enough until it wasn't. Because around the time I turned 16, being in the public school system and just being kind of the generic good kid didn't hold up to the pressures in the public school system, and I got into a bad relationship that ended in a very bad way. And I came out of it with a lot of pain, with a lot of confusion, with a lot of anger, and a lot of that was directed at God. And it was like that for about 7 or so months until I went my first summer up to the Word of Life Family Campground, shameless plug up there, and during one of the staff meetings, I made a deal with God, which is never really a good idea. And the deal was, if you can get me to throw my stick in the fire, I'll rededicate myself to following you. And that's exactly what happened. The person who was speaking talked on how we use our eyes, how we use our hands, how we use our feet, which is where I was failing consistently in my walk. And it was at the age of 16 that if my fire insurance salvation wasn't genuine because I didn't understand everything that was going on perfectly, it was at 16 where I definitely placed my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my only way of getting into heaven and not looking at my own works, not looking at what I could do. And since then, the biggest change has been a change in direction. Up until that point in my life, I didn't really have direction. But after that dedication decision, after that potential salvation decision at 16, the direction changed. The direction went from none to wanting to pursue ministry, to wanting to become a pastor. And because of that, I spent multiple summers up at Word of Life, which is why I'm now doing the baptism today, because all the summer baptisms for the past 5 years, I just haven't been here for. I went to the Word of Life Bible Institute for 2 years to get trained in Bible, to get trained in ministry. I've interned here for a year. Last year, and I will be going and working at Jonestown with the youth and the teens there, all as steps to fulfill the calling that I received when I was 16 to become a pastor.
Joe.
I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 7. I remember being at my grandparents' house. We slept over there a lot. My grandmother put me to bed, went downstairs, and I snuck out of my bed, and I remember praying and then going back to bed. And because I was so young, there wasn't a dramatic change in my life, just like you, Nick. But looking back, I can see how Christ kept me so centered and on the right path. I could have chosen the wrong path. There were so many friends I knew who did. You see, my life was full of anger and bitterness, first between my mother and my father. I can remember hiding in my closet. It wasn't a very big closet, and it was full of mess, praying to God for peace during some of the loudest fights. It wasn't surprising that as a child, my favorite Bible verses were Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. That was the verse I would cling to when the anger and turmoil in my house was too much to bear. At the age of 14, the yelling in my house was followed by silence. My father was diagnosed with cancer. It was a very rare cancer. He was one of three in the nation that had it at the time. And I watched my dad suffer through his treatments. He became so incredibly sick, and it was just terrible. So many nights I lay in my bed and I prayed, first for my dad to somehow beat the cancer. I so badly wanted a miracle. And finally, his last night, I prayed that if it was God's will, that he'd take my dad and end his suffering. Moments after I said my prayer, my father passed away. Losing my dad was difficult. I missed my father so much, but I clung to the fact that I had an eternal father who loved me so much more. Nights that I felt so alone were the nights that I prayed the hardest to God, knowing that he loved me. Once my father passed away, you would think the anger in our house would be gone, but instead it was turned towards my brother and me. We were frequently told that we were lazy, worthless, incapable of having friends, and the list would go on and on. While my brother turned towards his friends and tried to have as many sleepovers as possible, there were many weeks we didn't see him very much. I turned to God. I clung to the knowledge that God loved me, Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and that everything would be okay. I would spend my nights in prayer, asking God for the strength to endure my life and for him to send me someone who would care for me. I feel my prayers were answered when I met my husband, who's supposed to be up here. It was because of him I started attending Lebanon Valley Bible Church and hearing the word like never before. While I'd been a believer before, my faith and understanding of God's word grew. It was also around this time that my husband and I started having children. I came to realize that the way I was raised as a child was so wrong. I never knew it before. I just thought that was normal. And I never wanted to treat my own children in such a manner. I became very angry and bitter towards my mother for the way that she treated us and continued to treat us. The anger was all-consuming, and eventually I was angry at everything. About 5 years ago, I realized that this anger was a sin and was separating me from God. It took prayer, forgiveness, and digging deeper into the Bible that helped me release the anger and forgive. Ephesians 4:31 through 32 became a verse I read over and over each day. Get rid of all the bitterness, rage, and anger. Be compassionate to one another, just as Christ forgave you. I still struggle with anger. I still have to read that verse. But I am now quick to go to God before the anger builds. I am so glad to have a father who has shown me by example how to forgive and to love, even though I don't deserve his love and forgiveness. I know that God doesn't put his people through pain without a reason. Perhaps I don't know the reason yet. I try to use my life experiences to help others. I'm a teacher, and I try to connect and understand my students as I wish that someone had understood me. As a Christian teacher, I'm not allowed to directly teach the Bible in class. But while I cannot teach, I don't have to stop my students from spreading the word of God, so I plant little seeds and allow my students to do the teaching. Right, Ava? I try to demonstrate Christian love and grace with every person I meet. I desire to be baptized because I was an infant when I was baptized, and I wish to be baptized in faith. I also desire to grow and learn more and more as a believer in Christ. I made it.
You did?
Are you going to have Mackenzie come up with you? This is really cool this morning, guys. We have three generations in this family that are going to be baptized. Dennis and Russ and Mackenzie. She can come up in a minute. Go ahead, Russ, if you want, or you can come up now. Either way you like to do it.
All right. So my name's Russ Stomach. My testimony is probably a lot like other people who've grown up in the church. My family and I attended church our whole lives. Sorry, I just started. So, the amazing thing is, you know, we attended our church our whole lives, but we came to church on a Sunday morning, we sat in the pew, we went home. You know, rarely attended Sunday school, So it wasn't until I think I was maybe a sophomore in high school, I remember Pastor Ober coming to our home and him looking at me and saying, "Russell," he said, "who is Jesus Christ to you?" And I kind of gave the generic answer of, "Well, he's God, he's everything, he's this and he's that." But, you know, I didn't have the answer. And I remember him turning to my sister and my mother and them saying, "Well, he's my Lord and Savior." So I don't know why I'm even crying. This isn't even... So in my junior year in high school, I started dating my future wife, Becky. And remember, you know, we had a lot of conversations and her asking me, you know, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? And she really walked me through that process. So it was before my senior year in high school that I put my faith and trust in Jesus. The funny thing is, you know, of course we went to marriage counseling with Pastor Ober. The very first thing he asked me, he doesn't ask my wife, he looks at me, he doesn't say, you know, "Do you love Becky? How much do you love Becky?" He looks at me and says, "Russell," he said, "who is Jesus Christ to you?" And at that time, I had no problem. He's my Lord and Savior, and he died on the cross to save my sin. Two verses I want to share quickly this morning is Romans 5. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, and in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." And real quickly, another verse that, you know, as a father and as a husband, something I struggle with. I mean, my wife might not agree, but just being a godly and a spiritual leader in our home. Psalm 128 says, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in the ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your home. Your sons or daughters will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord." So, I mean, I'm going to give a challenge to men out there that we are the spiritual leader of our homes. And there's many men in this church who have helped me through the years. Two guys I do want to call out are Dan Daly and Jim Morrissey. You guys have been great examples for me. That's about all I have. I would really put a lot of pressure on my daughter.
I'm Mackenzie Stonelock. And my testimony is I went to church every day, and when I was 5 years old, I knew I wasn't saved. So I asked my mom and dad about it, and they said, "You have to pray to the Lord Jesus to forgive you, and that he died on the cross for our sins." So I got saved that night. And a verse I like is Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And I knew I was a sinner. Then from on, I went to Awana, and I asked my friends to come too. And that's probably it.
Here comes Grandpa.
I'm Dennis Stomach, and I'm not much of a talker, but I was born and raised Catholic, and didn't follow God too much there. 22, I got married to Sherry, and she changed me, showed me how to follow Lord Jesus, and we come to this church maybe for the last 25 years or so, and went down a few wrong paths over the years, but as when he became my Savior, he really made a difference in my life. 18 months ago, she died, and brought me closer to the Lord. About 2 years ago, John asked if I might play drums, so he asked me to play the drums, and I'm sure glad I did, because I just can't wait to get to church now and just praise the Lord. He's just my Savior, and I just praise Him for that. And the nights were so lonely for me over the years, and over the last year, I should say. I met a nice girl there, Sylvia, and then she made my days a lot happier and better. And I just thank God for everything. I just want to say Philippians song, the verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and He really does strengthen me. And just praise Him for that. Thanks a lot.
This is Nathan.
Hi. Okay. So, when I was around 4 years old, I was in Mrs. Musselwhite's Sunday school class. Okay. And then one day after Sunday school, I realized that I needed Jesus in my life. So then I went up to my bedroom and confessed my sins and prayed that I needed God. And then I believed that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Since then, I've grown more and more as a believer. I want to be baptized today because God commanded believers to do so. That's pretty much all I have.
Who is your Sunday school teacher?
Mrs. Muscle.
Who is your Sunday school teacher?
Mrs. Musselwhite.
Mrs. Musselwhite. Awesome. Thank you, Nathan.
You can tell them who you are.
Good morning. My name is Lasandra MacArthur, and as you know, I will be sharing my testimony with you all this morning. When I was young, I was in church, and the pastor was talking about heaven and hell. Hearing about hell, I knew I didn't want to go there. And in the car one day, I asked my mom how to become saved. And she shared John 3:16 with me, which is, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And hearing that verse, she then shared with me how to have eternal life. The thing is, I didn't want a relationship with God. I just wanted a guarantee that I wouldn't go to hell. And in sixth grade, I made some really unhealthy relationships with people. And I say unhealthy because they were all atheists and unbelievers, and they hated God and everything about Him. And every day going to school, they would tell me God is a myth and He's just a waste of time. And I started to believe them, and I started questioning my faith, and doubting and questioning God. Sorry. In eighth grade, my parents had pulled me out of public school and enlisted me in cyber school. They thought I could use a fresh start, but I was so angry and I didn't think I needed one. But my mom, she had me reading the Bible every day, and I started to understand who God really was, and I wanted that relationship with Him. And on November 6th of 2016, Life Action came to our church, and the pastor was preaching the gospel. And that evening, the pastor had asked if there was anyone who wanted that relationship with Him. And three verses came to my head, and those verses are Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. After those verses came to my mind, I raised my hand, and after that, I went into the hallway, and this lady, Emily, she welcomed me, and we went into another room, and she started asking me some questions. Her final question was, are you ready to accept Jesus into your life and give your whole life to him? And I said yes. And so she led me in a prayer, and in summary, that prayer was that I confess that I'm a sinner, and I admitted that there is a God. His son died on the cross for my sins. And 3 days later, he had raised from the dead. I repented of my sins and received Jesus in my heart. After that, we both said amen. And I walked out and saw my family. I walked over and they embraced me in hugs. I am being baptized today for two reasons. One, it shows my connection with God. And two, God commands it in Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Ever since I accepted Jesus into my life, my relationship with him has grown so strong. Sometimes I go out with my mom on Saturdays to share the gospel to those who may not have received Jesus into their lives. And I can't wait to see what God has in store for my future. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Stephen MacArthur. Second time up here. It's pretty cool. Before I actually start my testimony, I'd just like to say this is a new fashion wear, but I'm not here to talk about that today. I'm here to talk about my testimony. So, in my life, I had been struggling with difficult issues. Some I will share and some I won't. Personally, I had no relationship with God. I was angry towards him and very judgmental towards others. And I had a really big ego. My mom later shared with me about a man who had the same feelings towards God. He proclaimed he was a Christian, but was angry towards the Lord. From that point forward, I was baffled by God and thought to myself, at this point, I'm not going to even talk to him. In fact, I'm going to hate him. Spoilers, that didn't last long. I went to my room afterwards because of me arguing with God, why he placed a conviction on my heart. I was also struggling whether to live my life how I wanted or to give my life to God. Oh, have I also mentioned that I was dealing with the flu at that time? It's important later. But anyways, I wanted to continue how I was living, and I didn't want to let my lifestyle go. A few days later, while being ill, God didn't let me sleep, and I had ear pain with hearing problems. At that moment, I remembered a conversation me and Caleb had, shout out, and he said something about free will, and if I quote him, and if I'm not wrong, he said, God gives us free will, but we are not to abuse it by choosing to sin whenever we want to. That exact point in time, which was around 1:30 a.m., I decided to wake my mom up and give my life to God. I wanted her to pray for me. I repented of my sins, and I placed my faith in Christ and fully surrendered my life. So, and now to give you some updates in my life from the last time I stood up here. We have started the Light Club, or the Bible Club at school, which I now attend. I have been growing in my relationship with God in prayer and going into this word more. I want to thank those especially for those who have been praying for me and keeping me accountable. It's been hard, but just to let you know, I have been doing great so far, so good news. And thank you all for listening, and to God be the glory.
Good morning. My name is Jared Taylor. I have a similar testimony as Russ does. Russell. I grew up as a Christian. I was saved when I was 10 years old or a little younger. But that was kind of it. I didn't have a close relationship with God. And, you know, we just kind of, we went day by day, you know, doing the mundane things. I did take a class on baptism after that and realized, you know, my shortcomings and that it was a command from God to do that. So I did take that class and got baptized. And I felt close to God from then through high school. But it was after that, when I went to college and moved away from home, that my relationship kind of dwindled a little bit, and I wasn't pursuing the Lord, and I lost my close connection that I did have. But then I moved up here to Pennsylvania in the year 2000 and met my wife, my future wife, Tanisha, and started attending here at the church. And it was during those years here at the church I became a husband and a father, and I realized the weight of responsibilities that as a Christian that I have as a father and husband. And it really grew on me, and personally as a believer, I felt that I needed to regain that. So it's through the messages here and the relationships that I've had with a few gentlemen in the congregation, I became aware of the areas that I needed to grow to fulfill those responsibilities. So now my desire is to stand before the church family, where I'm raising my own family, and to show the commitment to the responsibilities and to be held accountable. Some of the missions that I'm involved in are Awana, Junior Church, Vacation Bible School. Another program I'm in is something called Trail Life, which is an organization that encourages men to have a relationship with their boys, or Christian men to just mentor younger men to bring them up properly. So I really encourage that if anybody is interested in that. But the Bible verse that I think of is Colossians 1:10 that says, "May you walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good walk and work, and increasing in the number in the knowledge of God." So I'm trying to live up to that as good as I can. Okay. Thank you.
First of all, Pastor Chang, if you promise not to hold me under the water too long, I'll get baptized.
How long is too long?
My name is Ruth Ann Weidman. I was raised in a Christian home. My mother and dad were praying parents. And I attended the church they went to for many years. It was during revival, I felt conviction. The Lord was dealing with me. I was so anxious to receive the Lord. I didn't want to meet the Lord. I wasn't ready. And so during revival, I went to the altar and I received Christ as my Savior. And after that, I was a different person. I wanted to read my Bible. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to be obedient. And I want to be obedient now. That's why I want to be baptized. I want the world to know I belong to the King. And my favorite scripture, I'm not going to talk as long as some of the others. My favorite scripture is in John, the 3rd chapter. "He that believeth is not condemned." Isn't that great? We're not condemned if we trust Him as our Savior. "He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God." That's a promise. And so over the years, I have grown in the Lord. I thank God for this church. I thank God for Pastor Chan's messages, challenging messages that we need to hear, that keeps us on our toes, keeps us to want to be obedient when we hear the word. And so I think of this song, "He paid a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I wanted Jesus to wash my sin away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. I thank the Lord for taking my place on the cross. And I want to do his will."
All right, this is the wet part of the service. And we're going to invite each of them to come up one at a time and go through the waters of baptism and celebrate with us as we do. Nick, come on up, brother. I'm not even going to get wet. I like this process. Yeah, you want to hold your nose? Oh. I just a couple of words. I have... just hold your breath. I'll tell you when I'm done. I have come to love this guy, just working with him over the last year, hearing his heart for the Lord Jesus and his passion for ministry. I told the leaders a while back, I said, you know what, I'm kind of getting to this side of ministry where I've only got maybe 20 years left, and I just want to find young guys and pour my heart and pour my life into them and watch God use them in amazing ways. And I praise God for you, Nick, and this is an incredible privilege for me. Slide up this way a little bit, then you won't hit your head. All right. Nick, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There you go. You've got to tell me about your foot.
What, this?
Yeah.
My tattoo?
Yeah, that is really cool.
I always wanted a tattoo, and I tried to think of one. I know you're not really supposed to get them. But it reminds me to walk by faith.
It's got the infinity sign across and the word faith. That is awesome. Praise God for that. That is really neat. You're going to watch your step going down here. Two steps down. Take a seat. Right. Boy, you got your nose already, don't you? Don't you trust me? Jill, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you dry when your daughter gets baptized, Russ. So, Mackenzie, come on up here, girl. Kick your shoes off. You're going to go in first.
Really?
Yeah, because we want to make sure it's safe before your dad gets in there. Come on over here, Russ. There you go. Have a seat. One of the things that in ministry that was one of the coolest experiences I have ever had in my life happened four times, where I had the privilege of baptizing my own kids. There's nothing like it. And I searched the scriptures and I thought, why is it that pastors are the only ones that are baptizing? And I found no reason why parents shouldn't be helping and doing this. And I just hope this is as cool of an experience for you as it was for me, brother. Are you ready, girl?
Yeah.
Okay. On your profession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you, Mackenzie.
Happy birthday.
Dennis, you want to baptize your son? Come on up here. That's a good deal, isn't it? Watch your step right here. It's slippery. You got to get in on this, man.
Yeah, I'll see.
Thanks for sharing your testimony. Slide up. Keep your knees near the front. You don't want to hit your head in the back. Russell, on your profession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you, man. slippery. Watch your step. You don't want to be baptized before your time. I know you've had a challenging year and a half, Dennis. But I've watched you grow. I don't always understand. God's ways or God's timing. But I know He's doing a work in your life. And I praise God for that. And He's not finished yet. Thanks for taking the courage to be baptized today. Dennis, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Russ, tell the deacon sorry about the water. Grab my hand here, man. This is a little bit slippery. Step down. There's two steps up here. And sit on the top shelf. Anything you want to say to your son before we baptize him?
Nope.
Nope. Did a great job with your testimony, and I'm really excited to see what God does in your life, Nathan. On your profession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Get your face all wet. There you go. That was half Baptist and half Presbyterian. I have so much appreciated the boldness of your faith and what God's doing in your life. It's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hang on right here. All right. Two steps. Keep your knees up against. Nice and warm, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've known each other for a lot of years, haven't we, man?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And I have loved watching God work in your life and in the life of your family, and I love your testimony. Stay true to the faith, man. God's going to do amazing things with your life. Stephen, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's do this. You ready? Jared, I admire you in the way that you're raising your family and what God's doing in your life. It's an incredible privilege to be this part of your life and to be your pastor. And I know we've had some conversations about the necessity of this, and I'm glad you're following through with it. Slide up a little bit so your head doesn't hit in the back here. Jared, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'd give you a hug, but I don't want to get wet. Ruth Ann. I love this lady. She's just awesome. Ruth Ann, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In our summer baptisms, this is at the point where I say I'm all wet anyway. Anybody else want to get up here and do it? This morning, I will say to you, if you have not followed the Lord in baptism, why not?